Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. We're co-hosts Lynn and Israel, and today we're going to be doing part two of our Bitcoin investing series. Lynn, what do we have?
Last week, what we released was kind of the big philosophical picture of how Bitcoin is changing and reinventing venture capital and the whole thought of investing in startups. Today, what we wanted to do is get a little bit more tactical about and pulling some quotes and some observations from some of our interviews that talk about how these Bitcoin-focused venture capital firms are actually implementing the strategy to end up with a very successful venture capital fund, but still stay true to the Bitcoin ethos and the values of Bitcoin that are shifting what we see as investing in startups and kind of reinventing venture investing.
Yeah, I mean, let's get right into it. I think here in this episode, as you mentioned, we get into a little more of the hands-on of what these funds and fund partners actually look for within the Bitcoin industry. So I think we have some great material from the past 70 plus conversations. And specifically in this episode, we'll be speaking with venture fund partners from 1031, Early Riders, Ego Death, Time Chain, Cantilever, and Epoch. So we hope you enjoy.
And we have six big themes that we've kind of identified in this tactical section. But why don't you kick us off and take us to the first theme?
The first theme we identified is massive capital misallocation that's creating historic opportunity. So these Bitcoin venture funds consistently identified an unprecedented imbalance in capital allocation as their primary investment thesis. The tactical strategy here is that these funds are positioning themselves as skaters to where the puck is going, anticipating that this capital will eventually flow towards Bitcoin as crypto's reputation deteriorates and Bitcoin's fundamental value proposition becomes clear and solidified.
You take a step back and you look at the capital flows within the broader crypto space. And over the last couple of years, $60 billion of venture money was raised and allocated for crypto at large, with less than $500 million. And this is back in, again, it was probably even less than $500 million. This is back in 2022-ish. Less than $500 million was allocated towards the Bitcoin entrepreneurs. And we saw like that as a massive dislocation in capital flow.
Now, if you go back to like 2021, it was like 30% of global venture capital was effectively falling into that. It was absurd. And there's a lot of reasons why that I can talk to as to why I think that happened. But it was just this unprecedented amount of capital flow that went into crypto back then. And none of that was really focused on Bitcoin at all. So there's this huge void because Bitcoin has proven to be the best performing asset within the whole industry over a very significant period at this point. And de facto, for that reason, the most adopted. I think people rule out the idea of it being a store of value is not adoption. And I think that's foolish. It is the strongest form of product market fit that we've found within this industry so far, far and away. It's historic, actually, how quickly that amount of growth has happened. So I think that there's just this huge void between venture capital allocation within Bitcoin and crypto. And that's a huge opportunity for funds like us.
The second theme that we identified is that Bitcoin as a hurdle rate fundamentally changes business building. And the most significant tactical shift is using Bitcoin's appreciation as the investment hurdle, fundamentally altering how companies allocate capital and make decisions, meaning implementing a Bitcoin treasury as part of the initial fundraising strategy. So the tactical aspect of this is that funds are seeking entrepreneurs who understand this dynamic and can make disciplined capital allocation decisions with Bitcoin as their opportunity cost benchmark.
The hurdle rate is the potential appreciation of Bitcoin. And as we just established, that there's tremendous upside in the asset itself, which then, if you're a Bitcoin business and Bitcoin sits at the center of your treasury management strategy, you're now thinking about, okay, is this new office or hiring this marketing executive or deploying a new sales team, how does that expense, like what's the upside of that expense, that investment decision, that capital allocation decision compared to, and how much value is that going to drive my business relative to, well, if I just hodl Bitcoin? we are actually already seeing the early manifestation of this. There's a lot of early stage Bitcoin businesses that are actually operating at or around profitability.
I think we're pretty aggressive with it. And I think that, you know, as a fund, our hurdle rate is Bitcoin. And as founders of the companies that we're building in, like they, I think that's one of the beauties of investing in the space, because there's a lot of alignment between 1031 and the companies we invest in, because we're all making a big opportunity. We're weighing a massive opportunity cost of, should we just go fiat mine and accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible, or are we going to go do the hard work to build out infrastructure in the space with the hope that we will outperform Bitcoin?
The idea was, if we believe Bitcoin is the best form of money, we should structure an investment firm that denominates with Bitcoin as the unit of account. So we, as you mentioned, are raising raising capital in Bitcoin terms, deploying it in Bitcoin terms, and returning capital to our LPs in Bitcoin terms.
The third theme is a strict anti-tokenization stance that distinguishes Bitcoin VC. Bitcoin-focused funds take a firm stance against tokenization, viewing it as anti-ethical to building sustainable businesses. Here, the tactical strategy we see deployed is that these funds focus exclusively on equity-based business models that require genuine product market fit and revenue generation.
What's happened in crypto is now these companies are listing a token and they've existed for 6 months. This company has maybe not even any users, no revenue, nothing whatsoever, and they're listing a token, but they're able to, because of the hype, effectively the investors and the founders of that company get returns on their investment, you know, in the next 6, 12, 18 months. And then what happens, right? Like, now the investors have their returns. The founders have all this money. Like, why would they even bother to continue to build that company?
Venture capital was supposed to fund your like moonshot projects. And venture capital is all based on this power law. So meaning 1 in 10, 1 in 11 of your investments are going to take you to the moon. We're looking to fund like putting an astronaut on the moon. We're looking to fund like space technology. You're looking to push humanity forward. And something's been fundamentally broken, I think, over the past like 7 years, where the way that VC funds are being allocated in the air quotes crypto space is to projects for early liquidity. Like, that is not moving humanity forward.
Our fourth theme talks about the actual companies and areas that venture capital funds are investing in, and they're looking at infrastructure layer as the strategic investment focus. And this makes sense. The consensus among Bitcoin VCs is that infrastructure development will determine Bitcoin's ultimate success as either digital gold or a global monetary system. And the tactical strategy here is that funds are prioritizing companies that are building custody solutions, payment rails, lending infrastructure, and tools that reduce the friction for Bitcoin adoption while increasing its utility as both an asset and as a monetary protocol.
What we're doing from a venture standpoint by investing in the infrastructure around Bitcoin is going to be the key determinant that determines whether Bitcoin just becomes digital gold in the future, or if it becomes a neutral monetary system for the world over the long term.
Bitcoin, the asset, and Bitcoin, the monetary protocol. And so we're basically looking to fund those software applications that allow whatever end user it is to interact with the asset in a way that makes sense for them.
I think it is that intersection of Bitcoin and credit markets. If you look out at the world and you just look at how much debt exists and what the capital structure of those debt products is and the underlying collateral, how fickle it is in many parts of the financial system, like there's a massive opportunity to go in and recapitalize and refinance some of the hundreds of trillions of debt that exists by incorporating Bitcoin.
The fifth theme identified is the global opportunity with geographic arbitrage. Bitcoin's borderless nature creates investment opportunities worldwide, with particular hotspots emerging in regions with monetary instability. The tactical strategy that we see these funds deploying is that they seek entrepreneurs building solutions for underbanked populations and regions with monetary instability, while also looking for proven business models that can be replicated across geographies. This all makes perfect sense due to Bitcoin's open and permissionless network effects.
You know, Bitcoin in the United States, it's an emerging, some might describe it as speculative store of value that's coming online. And, you know, we got the dollar, we've got Venmo, we've got PayPal. We don't really need, like, why do we need this? Well, you go to Venezuela, you go to Argentina, you go to an innumerate number of companies after that, and you tell the average citizen, hey, I've got a money that the government can't print and they can't take it from you. What do you think? Like they get it immediately.
We have a portfolio company, Timechain EgoDeath in Brazil. And so Brazil right now, while there's not like hyperinflation, we're not too far off of that. So the generation before the current like youth, so people in their 20s call it, their parents are very, very exposed to a hyperinflation and environment in Brazil. And that scar tissue permeates to the younger generation. Like, I'm sure that if anybody's parents have gone through any degree of a depression or economic downturn, like, you still have those things that your parents say to you in your head, and it affects your behavior patterns. What happens, I think, in those areas of Eastern Europe with communism or LATAM that have this hyperinflation type environment that's not far removed, is that you get these interesting builders, and you have like Bitcoin that's attached in more of like a neobanking form outside of the traditional system.
I think Eastern Europe and Africa are parts of the world that I see a lot of exciting things happening. I think in those areas, that's literally access to sort of building block banking services, just receive, send money. And I think those are going to continue to gain steam. The need for more stable banking infrastructure is certainly higher than it is here in the United States. And Bitcoin is just simply better in all those regards.
Our final theme for today, and probably my favorite one, is how entrepreneurial quality and the mindset differentiator that we're seeing in founders that are building in the Bitcoin space. And so the Bitcoin venture capitalists are consistently identifying superior founder quality and business approach among the Bitcoin entrepreneurs versus crypto or even general tech companies, noting the time preference and just the values that seem to come among our Bitcoin founders. And the tactical strategy here is that funds are prioritizing founders who demonstrate deep Bitcoin understanding, long-term thinking, and disciplined capital allocation.
The biggest difference for us was Bitcoin entrepreneurs had a level of, again, seriousness and determination. Like, these people truly believe that they're building a parallel monetary and financial system that is going to benefit 8 billion people globally.
The other one that I think is kind of interesting is that the way the founding teams actually think themselves, because their cost of capital is Bitcoin, so they don't make internal economic business decisions unless they think that that decision will exceed the rate of return of Bitcoin as well. So it has this really profound impact where everybody is pursuing really sort of like high growth, high impact measures at every single step of the business.
To conclude on these more tactical themes that we identified, these Bitcoin venture capital leaders are essentially making the same bet that Bitcoin represents the future of money, and that the infrastructure supporting this transition is currently dramatically underfunded. Their tactical approach involves strict discipline against tokenization, using Bitcoin as an investment hurdle rate, and identifying entrepreneurs who understand both the technology and, again, the profound economic shifts that it represents.
We do believe candidly, like, the largest companies over the coming decades are going to be built within the Bitcoin ecosystem. And so why do we think that? Well, Bitcoin is global. It's permissionless. Anybody can own it. Anybody can build on it. And it has a very passionate embedded user base.
If we can really build like a truly neutral monetary system, that's what makes Bitcoin the most impactful innovation of our lifetimes.
As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and we do highly appreciate feedback, comments. If you do enjoy the content we're producing, please subscribe, share, and let us know your thoughts.